Well, friends, it's good to be with you again today. We begin a series of four messages, each of which is going to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. And so we really hope that you will be with us over the next 4 weeks as we take four images from the New Testament that help us to get to know Jesus a little bit better. The reason that we're doing that is very simple. The Christian faith, and you will know this, I hope you will know this, the Christian faith is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity primarily is not a list of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. It's not an ideology. It's not a philosophy of life primarily. Essentially, the Christian faith is all about coming to know and to love and to follow Jesus Christ within God's community in this world. That is what the Christian faith is all about. And that's why for 4 weeks we will focus upon the person of Jesus in a very, very special way. I think one of the tragedies today, and this is another reason why we focus on Jesus, is that one of the tragedies today is that very often those of us, you and I, who talk about Jesus and worship Jesus and speak about him a lot, often we don't reflect him in our lives. It was Mahatma Gandhi many, many years ago, that great Indian leader, who once said these words. He said, "Why are you Christians so unlike the Christ you worship?" And so we are hoping that as we focus our hearts and minds upon Jesus more deeply, not only will we come to know him better, but we will also make him known more clearly in our lives, in how we live, what we say, and what we do. Our focus today is Jesus, spring of living water. And our passage that we're going to look at, it's going to come up on the screens. It's also on that leaflet in the bulletin that you received as you entered the auditorium today. But this is going to be the passage that we're going to focus in on today. It's one of my favorites. And I'm going to read it to you. And then we're going to just notice a few things together. John writes these words, "On the last and greatest day of the feast." He's referring there, if I can just give a quick word of explanation, he's referring there to the Feast of Tabernacles. Jewish people have three great feasts every year. And one of those feasts is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And that's when Jewish people remember how God cared for them when they were in the wilderness all those years. How God provided for them and sustained them. And they would get together for 7-8 days to celebrate this God. And they would always do a very interesting thing on the last day of the feast. The last day of the feast, the priest would go down to the pool of Siloam and with a big bucket, a big pitcher, and get some water and would bring it to the temple and then would pour this water out on the dry ground as a remembrance of how God had brought water out of a rock when they were in the wilderness. That's what would happen on the last day of the feast. And so on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus, it's almost as if Jesus takes this opportunity. Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, I love that little detail, in a loud voice, so that everyone could hear. Everyone. And that voice has reverberated down the corridors of history. And perhaps even today, we may hear that voice. And said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, I just want us to notice a few things. And as we notice a few things, I'm hoping and I'm praying that somehow Christ will step out of this gospel story into our lives and hearts this morning and speak to us very personally a word that maybe we need to hear. I want you to notice, first of all, today, to whom Jesus was addressing those words. Let's look at that passage again. He says, if anyone is thirsty, Jesus is addressing these words to anyone who is thirsty. To be thirsty in a spiritual sense is to be dissatisfied, discontent. It is to live constantly with unmet longings and yearnings. To be thirsty is to be spiritually dehydrated. Sometimes, and we can be thirsty in many different ways. Sometimes we are thirsty in our relationship with God. And maybe you are thirsty in your relationship with God this morning. Dissatisfied. Discontent. Filled with a sense of restless longing and yearning. You know, so often, you know this, I know this, particularly within the Christian faith. We can go through all the motions outwardly. Sing, pray, talk, without an inner sense of the reality of God alive in our life. We go through all the right motions, without a sense of the living God at work within us. And we fool everyone except ourselves and God. I never forget when I was converted. I was converted at the age of 16. Some of my closest friends had a singing group. They traveled around South Africa singing. They were called the Clan for Christ. And they said to me, Trevor, come and join us. I can't sing. I can't sing at all. In Benoni, we have mics. And whenever we sing hymns or songs, they turn my mic off to make sure that no one in the congregation can hear me. So my three buddies, Charles, Philip, and Clem, they said to me, Trevor, you've got to come sing with us. I said, I can't sing. And I said, you must come sing. So we all used to have mics, and we used to stand up there, four of us. And I remember when we went high, I would develop the high look. I would look high. When we went low, when we hit the bass notes, I would go low. I would just go low. Afterwards, people would come to me. This is serious. People would say to me, Trevor, you've got a beautiful voice. I haven't sung a thing. Just going up, down, just going through the motions. It's like that with God. Sometimes we just go through the motions. Huh? Without a sense of the reality of God's life with us. Is anyone thirsty? Huh? Sometimes we're thirsty in our relationships with each other. I don't know about you, but my deepest failings in life, let me be honest, my deepest failings in life have been failures in loving well. Times when I've just loved badly. When I've loved Debbie badly, or the kids, or my parents, or my sister. times when I've been locked up in my own self-centeredness and self-preoccupation and self-interest and really hurt those around about me. And maybe that's where you are today. And you're just thirsty to be able to love better, to love more deeply, more freely. You know, that's how God has made us. We've been created by love, in love, to love. And when we cannot love, we're thirsty. We're spiritually dehydrated. Anyone thirsty? Sometimes we're thirsty just in our own lives. Talking to a guy this past week, he says these words, and I quote him. He says, "Trevor, when I look into the mirror, I don't like the man I see. I don't like the man I see. The joy has gone out of that man's life. I don't see good anywhere. I'm constantly negative. And as I hear this guy speak, I can feel the thirst for something new." Anyone thirsty? If you are thirsty this morning, if you are spiritually dehydrated, dissatisfied, discontent, can I invite you just to acknowledge today, "God, I'm thirsty. God, I'm thirsty. Can I plead with you not to cover up the thirst, not to pretend that you're not thirsty?" I think so often when we are thirsty, we try quench our thirst with things that will never satisfy. I think that's why some of us drink a lot. We're thirsty. I went out with a builder from my congregation in Benoni. He took me out for lunch. He wanted to talk about God and his need for God. And he's a big guy. And we were sitting having some pasta. We were together from 1 o'clock till 2:15. And in that time, he put away 7 Vintook lagers. He's going back to work. I was just hoping that one of our elders wouldn't walk in and think that all those bottles were mine. But just, you know, and I just, as I watched, and he's a great guy, but it's just like this thirst, this deep thirst. Anyone thirsty? Now, I want us to go back to that passage, and I want you to notice that Jesus makes a promise to those who are thirsty, and I want you to notice what that promise is. Just look at it again. On the screens. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said," look at the promise, "streams of living water, streams of living water will flow from within him." Jesus here, for me, is the master teacher. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's taking something that we can see, something that we know about, something physical, streams of living water. We all know what streams of living water look like. He's taking that image to describe what the life of God is like in a human being's life. It's like streams of living water. And did you notice carefully that these streams do not only flow into us, they flow within us and through us to others? I wish this morning I could whet your desire for this life that God gives. I wish I could do that. I just don't have the words. But Jesus is promising us a new kind of life, and it's like streams of living water. Streams of living water in our relationship with God again. New intimacy, immediacy, access. with a sense of God being real, not just going through the motions, not pretending, but knowing the life of God within one's own life. Streams of living water. Streams of living water within our relationships with people. To know again the capacity of being able to give myself to others freely and deeply and generously. Streams of living water. Streams of living water within us. Of joy. Of hopefulness. Of peace. Can I ask you, friends, this morning, do you know these streams of living water? Because when we do, human life flourishes. It becomes green again. Our barren, dusty, gritty lives begin to sparkle again. A woman came to me some time ago and said, "Trevor, what have you done with my husband? Ever since he's opened his life up to Christ, he's far less religious and far more human." Isn't that beautiful? His life had begun to flourish again. That's the promise that Jesus makes. Now, I want you to notice one more thing before we close. I want you to notice that this promise is made to those who believe. Let's go back to the text. Let's look at it again as it comes up. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Now, believe is a tricky word. The devil also believes in God. What does it really mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Jesus gives us two other verbs. Did you notice that? Come and drink. Come and drink. To believe in Christ is to come to him. It's to come to him. To come as we are. We don't have to tidy ourselves up first. We don't have to get everything right. Some of us are living at this moment in the midst of very messy lives. We come as we are. We come as we are. We come with our thirst for a better life, for a deeper life, for a fuller life. We come. Many years ago, we used to sing a wonderful hymn, "Just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come." Maybe today is a day for someone just to come to Christ. And as we come, we drink. That's a very important verb. To drink is to receive, it's to take in, it's to appropriate into our lives what Christ has to offer. We drink. To drink is to receive his forgiveness for every destructive choice that I have made in my life. It's to know his forgiveness. To drink is to take in his strength in the struggles that I'm facing right this moment. It's to drink. It's to receive his strength. To drink is to take in his joy into my sadness and my heartache. It's to take it in. To drink is to take in his power so that I can face the tomorrow. Come and drink. Come and drink. I don't know what you're going through at the moment. Yesterday was a nightmare day for me. Got one of those phone calls you don't like getting at 6:45 in the morning. Family member had been admitted into Wilgeheerville suddenly. I knew I had a funeral at 10 o'clock. I knew I had to be here, filled with a sense of anxiety and concern and worry about someone I love deeply. Walking outside the theater and all the time having to drink in this moment the reality of Christ's peace and presence and reality, to be there for others in that moment. I don't know what your nightmare looks like. I don't know. But it's in the realities of our lives that we come to Christ and we drink, so that those streams of living water can flow within us and through us to others. Let me end. Is anyone thirsty? Is anyone thirsty today? The promise of the living Christ to you and to me today is that streams of living water can begin to flow. I invite you to come and to drink. Let's pray. God, on a Sunday here, we talk about deep things, things that maybe we don't speak about during the week. We thank you, dear God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who indeed is the spring of living water, the source of those streams that can flow in our lives and through our lives to others. And some of us, Lord, are just so, so thirsty. We want to come to you, and we thank you that we can come to you as we are. That we don't have to tidy ourselves up. And as we come to you today, O Christ, we want to take in, we want to receive, we want to appropriate, we want to drink your forgiveness and your joy and your hope and your peace and your strength and your power. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us that faith today to come to you and to drink, that you may become in our own lives the spring of living water. This is our prayer, and we offer it to you in the name of Christ our Lord, and for his sake, we say together as God's people, Amen. May the joy of Christ be with you. God bless, friends.